This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
It is fair week and we are going out to the fair. He is there. I will be there later in the week, but right outside the main conference hall building, State Representative Virgil Osborne is on with us, and you're going to be spending a lot of time out at the fair, it sounds like. Thanks for being on.
Hey, Kyle, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'll be here. I was here yesterday setting up, and I'll be here every day till close, every morning and every evening. So that's what we do during Fair Week, and the intent is to get out in front of people. And we have a booth here that I want people to be able to stop by and ask questions and talk about the things that are most concerning to them, and look at some new legislation. Hopefully, we'll get some ideas. So yes, sir.
And I imagine that you have something like the fair, an opportunity for people to interact with you that might not normally show up if you go to an organized political event or even a forum. Maybe that's not quite their thing normally, but they see you out at the fair and then they suddenly get an idea and have a chance to interact with you.
Yes, it happens often. In fact, today, I believe today is Senior Day, so it's always kind of one of the fun days for us because we get a lot of folks that the senior citizens, when I say that, I mean, the older 60 or whatever or older that really don't put a lot of effort out to come and to our events that we put on, but they see at the fair and they, everybody has an opinion and an idea and they want to talk. And it's been a really productive morning, to be honest with you.
And I imagine you make a lot of new connections there. Now you've got some other lawmakers, if I'm correct, they're going to be there at different times as well, right?
Yeah, Representative Court Boyce just came by the booth. He was there for a little while this morning. I believe Representative Alex Carlatos is coming by. I'm not sure exactly when he's coming by, probably this afternoon. And also, I believe our senator will be here as well, Senator Brock Smith. But I haven't seen the other ones yet, but I'm sure they'll make their rounds and spend some time here.
Well, out at the fair, of course, a lot of things for you to talk about. Now, you're outside right now, just kind of looking out around the fair complex. Talk about what you see happening at the fair right now.
Yeah, it's pretty busy. Actually, surprisingly, I think it's a little busier today than it was last year on opening day. In fact, getting in, parking was a little bit difficult. The line was backed up almost to the freeway this morning at the booth. The building's open at 11, so I was trying to get in here about 10:15, and it took quite a while to actually get up to parking. But I believe, I'm not sure if today's Kids Day as well. There's a lot of kids, a lot of seniors here. Everybody seems to be happy and lots of interaction.
Well, of course, the kids get in free throughout the week, thanks to the Cow Creek Tribe for that. Senior Day, yeah, that's today with Premier Insurance making that happen. So let's talk about some of the things while you're enjoying the fair this week. You're also preparing for a few weeks up the road, a special session that the governor has called. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything new lately. We just had last week we had our caucus call and kind of talked about what we are planning on doing as a Republican caucus. And the governor has met with our leadership. I wasn't part of that. I was actually on vacation, but she did meet with our leader. And she assures us that she has 36 votes that she is required to get her bill through the House. And we have committed to not denying quorum, but we're not going to give them much more than what it would take to make quorum. So we'll probably give them four or five. Of course, as you know, the special session has been called for Labor Day weekend, which is somewhat of a misnomer because special session is not just one day. Even though it's called for the 29th, which is Friday, the bill will still have to go through its procedures. It's going to have to be read first read, which I don't even think we have a number on it yet, but it'll have to be first read, then it'll go to committee, have to be second read, and then third read. And we have no intentions of suspending the rules to advance the bill into the, onto the House floor. So it will have to go through the procedures. My guess is that session will probably last from Friday. I'd be surprised if we were out before Wednesday. So being part of leadership, I'll probably have to attend it. I think that's the plan, is we'll have three of our leadership members there, plus one or two more Republicans from the caucus. And we'll just have to kind of see what they have to say. So far, everything we've seen about the bill is nothing that we're very happy about.
Well, talk about, and there's a little interesting part of the strategy there, especially given what is taking place right now in Texas with lawmakers there. Happens to be the other party, and what the GOP folks and the president even in Texas have had to say about lawmakers not showing up. Does that make you rethink this at all?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Turnabout's fair play. I truly believe the Oregon Democrat Party was very, very happy that they were able, because they're in the majority party. They were very happy that Measure 113 passed, and it blocks either party from being able to walk out longer than 10 days at a time. I think they were super happy about that. Well, I think it's in Texas, it's working against them. And I do believe at some point in the future, when the parties, do switch power in Oregon, it will be the same thing. So, I mean, we can leave, we can deny quorum, we can walk out for a certain amount of time, but only for a certain amount of time. After 10 days, then you lose your ability to rerun for your seat.
Now, let's talk about the session and the ODOT issues. You say the governor says she's got the votes to pass it. Is the proposal from the governor, has it shifted at all since before this session was called?
It has. She also, in our meeting, in the meeting that she had with leadership, she refuses to acknowledge or use any Republican ideas. The Republican caucus suggested that we use emergency funds, which there's a precedence for doing that in the past, to keep from laying off any employees. But as you've noticed, the layoffs have been paused because she's pretty convinced that she has the votes. No reason to have ever laid anybody off, but she's using that as leverage. The amount of tax has gone down. It's 6 cents per gallon on the gas now, which puts us at number four in the nation on the gas tax level if we end up passing this bill. So we'll be at 46 cents a gallon that we'll be paying for gas tax for the state. But with this, she also changed the 50-30-20 split. So the cities and counties will still be able to use ODOT money as well for projects. So there's some better stuff in this bill, but it's still a tax. And it also increases the payroll tax by 100%, right? It goes from 0.1 to 0.2. So it's 100% increase in your payroll tax to fund transportation districts. And then there's a host of fees that are going up, car registration, car titling fees. And we'll catch up with California on a lot of that stuff. Sometimes I wonder if we're not just in the process of trying to catch up with California.
Yeah. So, is there anything else that is a part of this special session, or is it mandated to stay within the framework of the whole ODOT situation?
I mean, there's no mandates. The governor can do, especially, she can call a special session. She called the special session specifically for this issue. So I don't know of anything else that at least we are not aware of it. She hasn't. So no, I don't think so. The next time we will be in session for, we'll be in early next winter, and then they'll be able to, it'll be a short session, and they'll be able to bring up other stuff, but this will just be for this bill.
And let's see, as we look at the special session right now, what kind of things, I mean, you've talked about your feelings on the bill. How much input have you gotten from residents of your district regarding the ODOT proposal?
So the input continues to be, we continue to get quite a bit. Nobody wants to pay more taxes. And I think that ODOT ODOT does some really great stuff. But I think that there is some wasteful spending that's happening within it. And that's the general feeling of the majority of the people in my district. In fact, I have a lot of ODOT employees that have contacted me, and some of them are my good friends that have all been, hey, we don't want to pay more taxes either. We completely understand why you'd be against this. Personally, I think that there's plenty of money in the ODOT system, in the transportation system, to continue on at the levels they have been. And I think most people understand that at this point. This is purely an increase in taxes because they want to do it. They don't have to do this. They want to increase spending on things that are not necessarily what this district and several other districts, and especially rural districts in the state, want to spend the money on. On top of the fact, Governor Kotek did an executive order mandating project labor agreements, in all over Oregon for doing ODOT projects, and we don't have the unions down here, or many of the other southwestern and southeastern counties have. We don't have the unions here to be able to afford that. So for her mandate, she's actually increased the cost of doing projects. It's a really messy situation, and most people, I think, are starting to understand that. So this is sketchy grounds for our governor to be walking on, in my opinion.
All right, we're going to take a break. More with State Representative Virgil Osborne. He is live from the Douglas County Fair this afternoon. Interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming up at 1. 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle will join us tomorrow on Inside Douglas County. Today, he's live at the fair. State Representative Virgil Osborne just outside the conference hall building checking things out this afternoon. Now, it is lunchtime. Have you noticed any interesting fair food, or have you gotten that far so far?
Thanks for asking, Kyle. Not yet. I've been too busy this morning to really have a chance to eat, and I've been trying to watch my weight a little bit, work out a little bit more, so I'm not spending too much time on fair food. I might sneak out for lunch today. I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
All right. Well, let's get back to the main topics here with what's going on with the legislature. Outside of the special session, what else takes place for lawmakers during this time of year? Obviously, you're at the fair. Other things that you have going on?
Yeah, this is a time of year where we stay pretty busy, most of us anyway, stay pretty busy in our districts. We attend a lot of, we spend a lot of time with businesses and with folks and, you know, municipalities. We talk about future legislation, future funding for projects. And, you know, we've got some, we actually did get some money funded into different projects for the county. Not county specifically, but like the cancer center and some of those things. So this is really one of the busier times. Like, even though session, you know, you're stuck in Salem for 6 months, when we get back here, we spend a ton of time just interacting with the public. And that's what I like to do. And of course, we shoot a podcast too. I like to be very transparent. I like people to know, you know, what I'm doing. And I like people to be able to approach me or ask me questions or, whatever I can do to help. That's my job.
Now, Legislative Days, that comes up, I believe, September. Explain to people what Legislative Days is all about.
That's correct. So, again, going back to what we're doing right now, this is the time where we start putting bills together, and then we will, you know, we'll speak to people about things that they want to talk about, bills they want to present. And then Legislative Days, we start firming that stuff up, and we'll have some hearings. And it kind of gives Legislative Days is kind of the place where we make the outline for what we do in session. And it's pretty important. A lot of things are discussed, and some things are killed before they ever get off the ground, and some things become firmed up as what we're going to do.
Now, Legislative Days, is that how many days is that?
I believe September is 3 days.
And you have Legislative Days again, I would imagine, near the end of the year.
Yeah, I off the top of my head, I don't remember the month, but I want to say it's in December. We'll have another Legislative Days before the session starts in early February.
And
so, yeah,
and the February session next year, that is a shorter session, right?
That's cool. Yeah, that session will be see you later. That session will only be 6 weeks long. But they will try to jam as much stuff into a 6 week session as you can imagine, and we will be very, very busy, I'm sure.
Now, do you have things that you're specifically working on to draft for legislation?
I do. As a matter of fact, today, this morning, that's why I like the fair, because this gives people an opportunity to come here and talk to me about potential bills that they would like to see. I had a gentleman stop by the booth this morning, and he had a lot of concerns over, you know, people dumping trash in the woods and, you know, abandoning old motor vehicles and cars in the woods. And he asked some questions about the current laws. And I took that as a, you know, we might be able to go back and take some legislation to increase the penalty For instance, if it was a mandatory 30 days in jail, you'd be a lot less likely to want to dump your old car in the woods. Potentially, if you got caught and proved, you might end up in jail for, 30 days. So these are the kind of times where we start firming up those kind of things. There's also, I'm working on some legislation creating fire breaks for timber companies. We've been talking about it for a while, but allowing timber companies a tax break for maintaining and creating fire breaks against federal property. So that's something I'm going to reconvene my timber folks, and we're going to talk more about it.
And explain to people as well, when you talk about, for instance, you've got these ideas for a bill, what's the process, though? It's not you ultimately writing out the legislation yourself. Explain how that whole process works.
Sure. So I have people that work for me, of course, my staff, my chief of staff. Sometimes she will write the bills, the intent. Sometimes I'll write the intent myself. And then I also have Austin and Salem who works for me. We will submit those to our legislative legal department, and they will do the research, and they will come up with the writing of the bill. And sometimes the bill can be one page long. Sometimes the bill can be complicated. I've seen bills that are 147 pages long. But they will make sure that we dot all the I's, cross all the T's, and make sure that we're constitutionally correct. And then they will go from there. And if they get a hearing, they will go into the process of the, first read, second read, third read, and then to the House floor and to the Senate floor.
And as you've done this, has this been the process of being a lawmaker, being in the legislature, is it more complex than you maybe thought going in?
Now it's kind of second nature because this is the middle of my second term, so I don't feel it's not very complex anymore because I understand the process. But yeah, when you're your first term, it's very complex trying to figure out how to kind of map your way through things, and that's why we rely on our staff too. We can still be out there talking to the public, doing our jobs, and our staff can in the behind the scenes can be doing the paperwork, and they can be doing the interaction that get feeding us with information. This job is
And let's see if we've lost him there for a moment. Let's see if we've got him back. I think a button got hit somewhere in the process here. We'll see if we get State Representative Virgil Osborne back on with us from the Douglas County Fair. I know they've been having that one went away. Okay, so we'll wrap it up right there because that's a good point to go out on. And that was State Representative Virgil Osborne live from the Douglas County Fair. Technology, not always perfect with lots of folks using devices right in that area. All right, that wraps up the program for today. Fourth District Congresswoman Val Hoyle will join us tomorrow on Inside Douglas County, 1256 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.